It's 9 a.m., time for the only Garden Talk radio show in Milwaukee. Tell your friends, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener is on the air. Join us and let's grow together.
Coming up on the program today, it's about watering your garden. Are you doing it correctly? And there's some different methods that may work for you. As well as planting for fall. It's that time of year. We're going to go over the crops and what you can get in the ground now and have another harvest before the cold of winter hits. As well as imperfect produce. Representative Riley Brock will be with us to talk about the company and their focus and how they're saving tons of produce from going to the landfills. All that and your garden questions. Garden Talk Radio is on the air and it starts right now.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird, some of the realest gardeners that you'll ever know, always willing to share their knowledge, mistakes, and working to grow together. Founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com that contains over 1,100 garden videos to show and teach others to grow some of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they cover practical gardening information that has worked for them and more. Now here they are.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM and FM 106.5. So happy you've joined us. To take part of your day out to join us on the program, I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is the website that contains over 1,200 garden videos, short and long format, all to help you grow more. There's a number of ways in which you can contact us. One is the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newling subplants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com, and you can call in any time during the program to 414-444-5250 with your question or comment.
You can also email us at twvgshow@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is twvgshow. So we're going to get in the program. It's all about watering. It's August. It's hot. It's dry. We've been dry for a while now. So there's some techniques in which we can water to help our gardens produce. We should have been watering all the time, but we're going to go over the watering aspect of it. And yes, there are some sponsors of this program that devote their companies to watering crops in our garden. Holly's going to go over a couple of go over them briefly, just so we know what they are before we get into the watering aspect of the topic here.
Sure. So one is called Tree Diaper, and so you can get that at treediaper.com. It's a plant hydration system, and basically it's what you kind of think it is. It's like you put a diaper around your plants type of thing. But what it does is it's made of this natural material that holds water, and then it releases it to the plants as needed. So it's kind of like the opposite of a diaper, but it's still a diaper type of thing.
Retains water, then releases it
when
the soil needs it.
Yep. So that's the Tree Diaper. It's the treediaper.com. Then we have the Plant Booster, which is it's something that's good for hanging baskets, potted plants, whatnot, and it allows the water, it's like a self-watering system, allows the plants to be watered as needed.
As well as the Dripping Springs Oya.
Yeah, the Dripping Springs Oya. And Oya is an older concept. It's an unfinished clay pot with a rounder belly and a short neck. And what it does is that unfinished clay allows the water to seep into the soil, but you bury it. You bury it at ground level, and then that way it seeps into the roots of the plants.
So let's talk about watering here. First of all, we need a schedule. We need to put our systems, whether we do an irrigation system, drip system, one of these systems that we spoke about, or hand water with a watering can, we need to be on a regular schedule. The reason for that is these plants do not do well when they go through a wet period, long dry period. Wet period for 2 days, long dry. It stresses the plant out, the production is not there, and also can cause problems like blossom end rot on tomatoes.
Right, because with blossom end rot, basically the nutrients are being locked up into the soil. So you need to get on a schedule. So say you're like, I'm going to water Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But say we get torrential rain on Wednesday. Maybe you don't water that day. Maybe you're at work and it rained at work, but you're not sure if it rained at home. This happens to me a lot because I work on way far west. So you want to go home that day if you're supposed to water, and maybe the ground looks a little wet, but you want to go underneath and see if it really, how much it did rain possibly, if it did soak the soil enough a few inches down.
Yeah, even if you hand water, if you put a gallon or 2 gallons of water from your watering can on the soil, it doesn't absorb like a sponge. Sometimes when the soil gets to a point of dryness, it becomes hydrophobic, which means repelling the water. So it takes time in order for the soil to change the structure in order to absorb the water in which you're placing on it or around the plant.
Right. So that's why you want to get on a water schedule, and you want to make sure that you're watering efficiently and you're watering correctly. So with that being said, one is that you got to think about the time of day you're going to water. So it's ideal to either water early in the morning or later on in the evening.
The reason for that is when we water during the peak afternoon hours. Now, you can water whenever. Our schedules are all different. The concept behind the early or late watering is early morning, the plants are just coming, are still not stressed from the heat. Then it will absorb the water. You can foliar feed. You can water the plant's leaves. It will dry before evening. There's less chance of diseases and bacteria growing on the leaves, and the plant can absorb that moisture. If you water in the evening, the plant is coming out of the stress, going into night, relaxing. They do a lot of growth at night, and then it can absorb the water, and the water doesn't evaporate. If you do during the peak of the day, it will still work. The plants will still absorb, but some of that water will evaporate, especially if you do above-ground watering. The atmosphere, the air will pull that moisture away from the plant, and you don't get the efficiency as you would in evening or in the morning. If you go a drip system or a tree diaper or Oya or a plant booster, it's watering directly at the root system, at the base of the plant, to where it's absorbing into the soil, that is not cascading over the plants or in the air. You're going to get a better return on your watering if you do it that way.
Right, and that comes with the watering of at the base of the plants, because you're getting it right into the soil. A lot of people use those old sprinklers that wave back and forth, and those are a great concept. They're handy to use, and they're simple. But with that being said, you're not. It's kind of like when it rains. You're not necessarily getting it at the base of the plants.
And the problem with some of those rainbow sprinklers is the control of those sprinklers. A lot of people don't care where it goes. They just put it in the yard. Let's say we're watering the yard, and they spray half the street, and the water's going down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting the water. Unless you can, there are ways in which you can maneuver it to where you're maximizing the coverage of what you're watering, but a lot of people don't. They just throw it in the yard, walk away, and then the street, the sidewalk, everything gets wet. You're wasting water, and you're not utilizing the tool in which you have available.
And that brings us back to watering or irrigating efficiently. So there's many different irrigation systems out there. Something like one of those rainbow or wavy sprinklers are not the most efficient irrigation. I don't know if I would even call that irrigation. It's probably just like a watering tool. So irrigation is typically done ideally with a drip system, or even something like the tree diaper or the Oya. Those are all forms of irrigation. But a drip system is nice. You take the drip hose, you put it right along the base of the plants.
Usually on 24-inch centers.
Right, and you can put have the drip emitters. You can kind of tailor it to your garden, and it's ideal because it's getting right to the base of the plant.
Based on the type of system in which you decide to purchase, some of them in which you can adjust the amount of water coming out of the emitter, or you can maneuver the emitter around, but about a half gallon an hour at the root zone. So it's very controlled, very efficient, very environmentally friendly, because it's not wasting water. How much water do you water a week, or how often? Usually, if you have a drip system, you can kind of gauge it, try it for a couple of days, run it for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Because of that low amount of water that it's emitting, you're concentrating the water to the root system, so you're not wasting water. If you're using an above-ground sprinkler system, what you want to do is take a rain gauge and sit out where the water is going on the ground, and then you can gauge, okay, I left it on for 30 minutes, and it acquired to be a quarter of an inch of water on the ground. So you can kind of figure that out. But really, if you're watering lawns, if you're watering ground, it depends on how much water you're needing or you're needing to put towards the plants. With our system, we use all of these, and it just depends on the actual unit of what works best.
Right. Well, we don't use the wavy sprinkler. But
no,
right.
No.
So then there's things like container size. If you grow in containers or pots, you need to keep that in mind, that the smaller the container, the pot, the quicker it's going to dry out, especially on these hot days where it's dry.
In a container, you're going to water 2 to 3 times more regularly than you will in the ground garden. We want to keep the ground garden watered as much as moist as possible, but the containers dry out very, very quickly. They're above ground. The air can get to them much quicker. The evaporation occurs much more rapidly, no matter if it's a black container, white container, red container, yellow container. They're going to dry out quicker. And again, the mass of soil greatly determines the time in which they dry out. A gallon's going to dry out much quicker than 5 gallons. But still, what really stresses these plants out and the lack of production in which these plants produce is going through that cycle of wet for 2 days. Okay, I'm growing. Everything's good. Drying out, stress, in survival mode for the plant. Watering again. Okay, grow. Then in a stress survival mode.
And that's the thing is that when you're dealing with plants, when they are being stressed and then brought back and being stressed and brought back, that's not good for them. That's not good for their cell walls. It's just like us. If we were to not be feeling well and then we would just force ourselves to feel worse and then try to bounce back, it's going to take longer. So that's why watering efficiently, especially even in containers, is important.
And you're not how much water? Well, it depends on the garden, obviously, but it's not like we're using swimming pools full of water in order to water our plants. City water, people will say, well, what about the lead in the water? Soil has what is called a buffering capacity.
Especially healthy soil.
Healthy soil, mm-hmm. Which means it doesn't change the structure of the soil and absorb that toxicity. If you just pour bleach or Clorox or something like that on it, yeah, it's going to affect the soil. But the levels of toxicity that's in the water, it doesn't change that structure rapidly. It actually repels some of that.
Yeah, it's not enough. There's not enough bad things in city water to, as long as your soil is decent, healthy, to affect it.
And they, you know, that used to be chlorine would kill the microbial life. We found out that is not necessarily the case, so we can use city water. There are water filters in which you can attach to your hose to reduce the amount of toxins in which you're putting into your garden or your containers. But the plants will adjust. We're talking fruit-bearing plants. If you're root crops and you have toxic soil, it will absorb the toxicity in the soil. If you have fruits like watermelons, tomatoes, peppers, they won't absorb that toxicity. They'll still be safe to eat. So watering, we should be doing it all the time. This is just some of the ways in which we water in order to help keep the plants healthy and hydrated and growing all summer long. Well, when we come back, summer's getting close to ending, and we're going
to
talk about fall.
I wouldn't say close, well, but we need to start thinking about fall planting.
Fall planting, that we'll go over that and what you can plant right now so we can get a harvest before winter, right after this.
WisconsinVegetableGardener.com has all the gardening information you need. Videos, digital magazines, replays of shows, and more.
Are you short on time when it comes to grocery shopping? Yes, I'm talking to you. ShopWoodmans.com offers online shopping for store pickup or delivery on their over 60,000 plus items at Woodman's everyday low prices. Or online, select a pickup or delivery time, and create more time to do what you want. Leave the work to Woodman's. Also, check out the ShopWoodmans.com app. You can even make specialist requests, like specific sizes of produce. For more information, visit ShopWoodmans.com. Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice. A health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878, and online at beansandbarley.com.
The Tree Diaper is an advanced plant hydration system. It is an innovative device that captures and holds the water around your plants once full and hydrates them slowly when the plants need it over a period of 30 days. From half to 30-gallon capacity based on your needs. And easy to install even for a first-time gardener. The Tree Diaper reduces weeds, protects plants, enhances root growth, and prevents overwatering. Whether you're growing trees, vegetables, flowers, houseplants, in containers, or the ground, your plants will benefit greatly by allowing the Tree Diaper to do the work for you. for you. Find out more at treediaper.com. Made in the USA. Shield and Seal vacuum sealers and the highest quality vacuum sealing products. Unique black and clear and all black bags protecting your produce and product better than traditional bags. Find out more at shieldandseal.com. A green pepper is an unripened pepper. This garden fun fact is sponsored by ManureTea.com. Get your 3-pack today. Drop the tea bag in water. Let steep, then feed your soil, not your plants. 100% organic. Find out more at ManureTea.com. Always free shipping. Ground black pepper and peppers you grow have no similarities except for the name themselves. Red bell peppers are sweeter than green because bell peppers sweeten as they ripen. Leave a green pepper on the vine long enough, it will change colors and become sweeter. A green pepper is simply an unripened pepper. Rebel Green, responsibly made natural products that are good for you and the environment. Made in the USA, plant-based, vegan, and always toxic-free. Find out more at rebelgreen.com. Use coupon code WIVEG15 to save 15% off your next purchase at rebelgreen.com/shop.
Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center offers an awesome selection of high-quality garden and landscape products. We have just the plants you're looking for. Annuals, perennials, veggies, herbs, and more. Plus, you can always count on us to answer all of your questions and offer expert advice. Blue Mel's also carries the largest selection of bulk landscape materials in the area. Enjoy a beverage from our coffee shop while your kids run around in our huge playground. Join our growing list of highly satisfied customers. Visit the garden center that offers everything you're looking for. Visit Blue Mel's today.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Haas Tools, Tree Diaper, Root Maker, Seeding Square, Rebel Green, Dripping Springs Oil, Zazz Products, Shield and Seal, Pomona Universal Pectin. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Some people think that gardening only happens between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and that's really not the case. If you really want to produce a lot in your backyard, whether you have a large spot or a small spot, you can do spring planting as well as you can do fall planting. And we're going to talk about fall planting, which means you can grow those cool weather crops both ends of the spectrum of the year. Here in Wisconsin, we are not fortunate enough to be able to grow year-round like some of the southern areas are with the cool weather crops. So our average, we always refer to in gardening is the average last frost and average first frost. And explain
average,
that. Yeah.
Sure. So the average last frost is based on basically 10 years of data on each last frost date that we've had for, depending on the area.
Usually here in Milwaukee, April 15th,
mm-hmm. around, yeah, mid-April. So, and obviously that can vary, but that's kind of what you go by as a gardener. Now, the average first frost date is typically through the 10th or 20th of October. And so if you back off from that 60 to 70 days, that's when you ideally want to start thinking about your fall crops.
And that's where we're at right now. A couple of years ago, the first average frost didn't occur in our garden until November the 18th.
Right, so
which is a rarity.
It is a rarity, and it can obviously vary. But that's why we're talking about fall planting now. You're like, it's going to be 90 degrees today. Why are you talking about fall planting? It's because it's time to think about that. And if you have a situation where maybe you there's something that you want to grow in the spring that's a cool weather crop, but you don't do well with it, try it in the fall.
Turnips and rutabagas for us.
We don't do well with those in the spring. We do great with those in the fall. So that's another opportunity for you to extend your gardening time and try different things as well.
The advantage for growing these cool weather crops in the fall is, in the spring when we plant them, they go to bolt or they go to seed. They put that flower pot on. When the days get long and the days get warm, they're day length sensitive, which means that at that point, when the days get in a certain length, their growth cycle is over. Their natural premise is to reproduce seeds and be done, and that's it. With the fall planting, the days are getting shorter, so it's working for our advantage. These plants like the cooler nights, the shorter day lengths, and they produce better, and even in some cases, more flavorful production of the items in which we're growing. So we're going to go over several of these cool weather crops. Now, like Holly said, we're 60 to 70 days out here in Milwaukee on that first frost, average frost?
A little bit. Yeah, we're between 60 and 70 at this point.
So growing more cucumbers or peppers or corn, and no need to put that in the ground. It's not going to make it.
But we did put some potatoes in last week.
We did put some potatoes.
So you can do some summery crops. It's not a problem. There's people who probably would put tomatoes in, too. If it's like a determinate type tomato, something that's going to grow quickly.
Right. And we put potatoes in the ground simply because we had left over. And we had them left over, and my grandfather always says things grow better in the ground than in a bag in the shed.
Well,
even if it's not, may not make it to maturity, we can still get tiny or baby potatoes off of those plants if they get to a growth cycle and then they get frosting and they kill. We can still get something off the production of those potatoes.
Right. So cool weather crop one is your leafy greens like lettuce and spinach. Those are great cool weather crops. You can definitely...
You can do cabbage. You can just start these from direct sow. Put them right in the ground. You can get your purple cow potting mix and start them there and then transplant them over. But it's really not a big deal here. The soil is warm.
It's perfectly fine to start them in the ground. Radishes are definitely a cool weather crop. So
I would hold off on radishes for about another 30 days.
They only take about 30 days to grow. So you get a little bit of time on those. Especially, say, if you pull out some potatoes and you don't know what else to put in there, you can wait a few days or weeks or whatever and put some radishes in.
August 1st, the first week in August, we always drop our turnips and rutabagas in the ground. Turnips take 60 days. Rutabagas take 90 days to reach maturity. And people often ask, well, there's different types of turnips and rutabagas, but what does one taste like? What does it taste like? What does a turnip or rutabaga reference taste like? It's like a potatoy, earthy taste, doesn't it?
Yeah, turnip and rutabaga, it's kind of like a potato, but not. It's got like...
There's a little parsnip, little carrot, little...
Yeah, it's like an earthier potato.
And before you go plant any of these things, if you've never planted them before, go to the farmer's market, go to the Woodman's or Outpost or Beans and Barley, buy one or two of them and see if you even like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no more disappointment than to grow something and spend time nursing it and harvest it, and then you make a meal of it, and then you realize, I don't like this. And you've committed all this time and effort and energy in order to grow this crop in which you thought you may have liked, but you realize you don't like. So turnips and rutabagas, you can harvest them at any time as the bulb develops, but it's better when you wait until that full maturity, and then you can get a bulb the size of a tennis ball or maybe even a baseball size. But you don't want to leave them in too long, otherwise they get woody on you, and they're very difficult to eat unless you like cook them for 9 or 12 hours.
That's not what you want. But the nice thing about turnips and rutabagas is they are, if you're looking for, not a lot of people are eating low carbs, watching their carbs, they're good
alternatives. Rutabagas you can substitute for potatoes.
Right. It's definitely good alternatives for that.
Jerusalem artichokes is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And then things like peas. Peas, I don't know. Have we ever had much success?
We have not personally had success with fall peas. We've had success great with spring peas, but not fall peas. Now, my gardeners had great success with fall peas. Other individuals around the Midwest just have phenomenal success with fall peas. We just haven't had the success. And we're able to grow things successfully in our garden that other people aren't in the Milwaukee area. So it's a trade-off. You're not going to be 100% all the time with, you're going to have crop failures.
Right. And then there's beets. Beets are nice to grow in the fall. You can definitely start those this weekend. And
direct sow. Explain
then
about the beets. The beets are a unique crop in which you, no matter what you do, you're going to have to thin them out.
So beet seeds are basically a clump of seeds. They're tiny seeds, but they grow
cluster.
In a clump. They're a cluster. And so when you plant them, you're basically planting more than one seed. And that's okay. That's just how it works. So once they start to sprout, what you want to do, you don't want to pull the seedling out. You just want to snip it. So say you have a sprout of like three little seedlings, you just pick the tallest one and snip the other two.
Oh, they're edible. They're beet greens. You get them in salads at the store. But yeah, otherwise you're going to have a cluster of beets, greens, if you let them grow to a mature state, but you're not going to have any bulb development. Carrots are another thing in which you can put in the ground. Now, I will caution you with the beets and the carrots. If you do not have very good tilth in your soil, you're not going to have very good root crops.
That's any root crop, really. But you definitely, so if you don't have nice, loose, loamy soil, you can grow these very successfully in raised beds and or containers.
Yeah, go to Blue Mallows, get some Purple Cow raised bed mix, get some 5-gallon buckets. They do really, really good in 5-gallon buckets, or if you have a large Rootmaker grow bag or something of that nature, fill it up. We've had, that's the only time we've ever had success, and that's what we continue to practice, is putting these in containers. The beets, the onions, which onions we can't grow in the fall because they're a day-length sensitive item here. But I'm just referencing the root crops in which we grow, that we strictly 100% grow in containers because of that loose tilth in that soil, that great compost, that nutrient-rich material that we are putting in the container and having the plants feed off of. There are other crops in which you can grow in the fall. These are just ones that we grow regularly in our garden. And there's and the thing with the crops in the fall, if you kale is another one in which you can grow. Cabbage takes 75 days.
The nice thing about kale is that it's really hardy. So even if you get a frost.
Swiss chard as well.
Even if you get a frost, as long as it's not a super hard freeze, it's still going to keep going. And it's not going to get weird or wilty or anything like that. That one winter that we had, that it didn't get very super cold. I think it was like in 2011 or something. Our neighbor had planted some ornamental kale.
Which is edible, by the way.
But it's definitely prettier than some other kales. And it just got huge, and it didn't get wilty or anything because we didn't get enough successful hard freezes.
So with that being said, if you think you're done gardening, don't worry about it. You can get these planted in now. Just keep them hydrated. Here's the thing. When they are young plants, they are more susceptible. It's just like a young child. You need to take care of it until they get more of a mature state. So be sure you have, you know, you can use mulch, water them, keep them regularly, you know, keep an eye on them. Otherwise, a seedling that you put in the ground or grows is going to dry out much, much quicker no matter what type of method you're growing in, and you're going to lose it. So baby the plants, keep them watered so you can have a harvest in about 70 to 80 days. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk with a representative from Imperfect Produce. Some of you are getting this shipped here to Milwaukee. It's a unique company that's saving tons of produce from going in the landfills, right after this.
Use Twitter to reach Joey and Holly at TWVG Show or hashtag TWVG.
The Handy Safety Knife is a patented, high-quality knife that's worn like a ring, so it's always conveniently at hand and very easy and efficient to work with. That's why you'll find the Handy Safety Knife at work in a wide range of industries and applications. Learn more at HandySafetyKnife.com. Place an order for your business. Call toll-free 866-294-3424.
Use coupon code WVG to get 10% off and free shipping, one-time use only at HandySafetyKnife.com.
Do you enjoy hanging baskets but struggle to keep them properly watered? The Plant Booster self-watering system is a mechanical system that will ensure optimal soil moisture at all times by reacting to the weight of each plant. The weight of each plant tells the system how much water it needs. Unlike a timer-controlled system where all plants get water at the same time, whether they need it or not. Also ideal for condos or apartments with no outdoor water source. Check out details, videos, and extensive explanation and ideas for application at plantbooster.net. Hosh Tools wants to help you grow your own food. From seed starting supplies, hand tools, drip irrigation, harvesting equipment, and a complete line of all-natural pest control solutions, they've got you covered. Keep your garden weed-free with their time-tested, American-made wheel hoes that are built to last a lifetime. And the precision garden seeders have proven design for planting a wide variety of seeds. Hosh Tools has what you need to get the most out of your growing space, large or small. Free shipping and outstanding customer service. Shop online or request a free catalog at HoshTools.com.
Root Assassin, a garden tool that does all the root functions with its advanced shovel that has serrated edges on both sides. Find out more information at rootassassinshovel.com. Purple Cow Organics quickly and naturally increases the uptake of nutrients and water to your plants with their new bioactive vegetable supercharger designed to meet the unique needs by helping the living organisms in the soil help plants uptake the nutrients more quickly through their roots and leaves. Find out more at purplecoworganics.com. Flame Engineering, home of the Weed Dragon, the perfect propane torch kit for home and garden use. For killing weeds, no need to pull or spray. 100 other uses. Find out more at flameengineering.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar, honey, or any alternative sweetener you'd like. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Available at most natural food stores and online.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener is brought to you by the following: Handy Safety Knife, BioSafe, Tall Earth, Chapin International, The Plant Booster, Ivy Organics, Woodman's Market, Bluemel's Landscaping Garden Center. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Berry.
Well, Bluemel's Landscape and Garden Center is taking it to the next level here in Milwaukee. They have what they're calling, what is it called, the Produce Day?
It's called Summer Market.
Summer Market.
So they're going to have crafts, produce, food, music, and we're going to be there.
We're going to be there both days, August the 18th and the 25th.
From 9 to what? 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, that's what
she
said. Yeah. And they're going to have the whole deal there. Again, we'll be there. And it's going to be like a farmer's market atmosphere. That is the goal here, to bring people in to see the facility, obviously, but to provide local produce, homegrown farm-to-table produce.
Yeah, and then crafts and all that good stuff. So it'll be fun. It'll be like, and music, so it'll be good times.
It'll be a good time there.
Yeah. And so you can find Bluemel's at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, just south of Layton. You can go to bluemels.com or call 414-282-4220. And maybe you're like, I'm not really sure about this. They got a coffee house there, coffee shop. So, you can get buzzed up on caffeine. And
you don't
and
have to buy produce. Anything. You can just come
right.
And enjoy the atmosphere.
Enjoy the atmosphere.
Again, the dates on that are?
August, Saturday, August 18th and 25th. So not this week.
Two weeks and 3 weeks from
right.
today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Holly, let's go to the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline and bring in our next guest.
Sure. So, Imperfect Produce was founded almost 3 years ago. The company was founded to help fight food waste and continues to bring fresh and not the most perfect produce to people, but beneficial to farms, the environment, consumers, and more. We're talking with Riley from Imperfect Produce.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on the program and share this incredible company that is preventing produce from just being wasted.
Now,
it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. My sister has actually tried Imperfect Produce, and she wanted to know what qualifies something as imperfect, because she said that the produce really doesn't look imperfect. It looked all pretty good to her.
That's a really great question. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that counts as ugly in the produce world is really too small for the home consumer to even notice. We're talking about things like being slightly too small. I mean, on the scale of a couple centimeters will disqualify you from a grocery standpoint. Things like having asymmetry, you know, a bell pepper that can't stand up on its own. If you put it on a table and it kind of rocks to one side because it doesn't have an even bottom, that's considered too ugly for the store. You know, citrus with scarring on the surface won't get bought by stores. Again, these are all things that are really, they're cosmetic quirks. They're not quality issues, but you know, if you're a buyer for Safeway or a big chain, like, these are deal breakers. But for the home, you know, the home consumer, you wouldn't notice it at all. And honestly, that's some of the most common feedback we get is, hey, I don't even understand why this is ugly. Like, this looks perfectly normal to me.
So that you've just brought up a point there that probably many of us, Holly, myself, and our listeners were not aware of, that there is essentially a standard in which large chain grocery stores, there is a criteria in which, based on diameter, that certain items have to meet, otherwise it gets rejected, even though it is nothing else is wrong with it.
Yep, that's a big one, honestly, is size. Size is kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to grocery store produce. Basically, stores want to buy 1 to 2, normally, sizes of a given item, and that's basically based on the case count. You know, how many items will it take to fill a case? You know, so let's say they want to buy, you know, 36-count and 48-count items. What that means is anything that's smaller than that or bigger than that often won't even get picked, or if it gets picked, it might get devalued or just end up going into processed food because there's not a table market for it, because stores want to buy things that stack in pretty uniform display cases. But what that means is a lot of stuff gets excluded.
So with the imperfect produce started 3 years ago, where did the concept come from? Where do you find the farmers to get the produce from that the stores are rejecting? How does that whole system work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Basically, our CEO had started a nonprofit in college. He had noticed that on his college cafeteria campus in Maryland, a bunch of perfectly good food was getting thrown out at the end of the night every night. And this is a pretty common story in America. So he did some digging and ended up starting this group called the Food Recovery Network that, you know, sought to find a home for this perfectly good food on his campus. But the more digging he did, the more he learned that there was a bunch of stuff that never even made it off the farm. So he founded Imperfect almost 3 years ago to help, you know, solve that problem and find a home for this produce. And basically how it works with the farmers is, you know, it's a two-way symbiotic relationship. Basically, our supply team has relationships with farms all across the country, and, you know, it's a dialogue. We'll come to them and say, hey, like, what are you having trouble selling? And then they'll, in turn, come to us each week with offers and say, hey, you know, this broccoli has started to flower. These beets got an extra rainfall, so they're really too big. I just have too many pallets of kale. You know, I am on contract for, let's say, 90 pallets, but I have another five that I can pick, but I'll only pick them if you're going to buy them, right? It's just kind of, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours in terms of this stuff. Otherwise, you know, it's not, there's not a market for it, right? So we're coming in and providing economic value for them, and also the peace of mind that this stuff doesn't have to go to waste.
Well, let's talk about how much food goes to waste because it is imperfect. Prior to Imperfect Produce becoming a company, and even now with it, I'm sure there's still only so much that you guys can do to save what is in a timely manner.
Yeah, it's a truly staggering number. Some of the statistics I know are, you know, it's about 20% of all produce is deemed unfit for grocery store qualifications, and as a result will often go to waste. It's, you know, to the tune of, I think, 6 billion pounds of produce every year in the U.S. Aren't sold. They're either picked and never sold or just not considered marketable. So there's this huge, you know, we're talking billions of pounds of produce, I mean, according to this estimate, by Feeding America, that never end up on someone's table, often because of these specifications or just because there's, you know, too much of it being grown. It's kind of the cruel irony of our food system is we're overproducing a lot of stuff, and yet we're also failing to get it to market, and we still have, you know, people going hungry every day. So we're really trying to help our food system work in a more logical manner that can, you know, feed more people.
Right, and that's a staggering statistic because 25% of kids in this country go to bed hungry and not knowing where their next meal comes from, yet we're throwing away tonnage of food that is perfectly fine for a variety of almost elementary or dumb reasons.
Yep, I couldn't have said it better myself. It is upsetting, but at the same time, I always remind people with a problem that big, there's so many points of intervention. You know, yes, like it's close to 40% if you look at every level of our food system. You know, 40% of all food in this country is going to waste. You know, a family of four is throwing out close to $1,500 of food every year, right? So it's kind of upsetting on that level, but it's also like, just think about how solvable that is, right? If you make little changes in your life and then make bigger changes down the road, like, you can really make a difference.
Right, and we're not going to get into political or anything, but, you know, America is supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and we have this problem that should not even exist.
It's a pretty silly problem, and what's kind of funny about it, too, is I've talked to a lot of people all over the country about it, and it's one of the few apolitical, nonpartisan environmental issues. I have yet to meet anyone that's pro-food waste. You know, no one I've talked to is like, oh, I'm really excited about how much food we're wasting. Like, it's a pretty no-brainer thing for all of us to band together as Americans and help solve. And that gives me hope.
Now, I know that this is a thing kind of all over the U.S. Can people all over the U.S. sign up? Are there different hubs? How do they get in contact? Obviously, we know how to get in contact with Imperfect Produce, but is it something that is available to everybody in all areas?
We're not nationwide quite yet, but it's definitely a goal. You know, as I said, there's billions of pounds of produce going to waste every year, and it's really our goal to help find a home for as much of it as we can. Right now we're in seven cities. We're in the SF Bay Area. We're in Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Indianapolis, and Milwaukee. And we're working on expanding to more cities soon. But if you live in any of the cities I just named, you know, head to our website at perfectproduce.com. You can sign up right there. You just enter your zip code, and we'll tell you if we're in your neighborhood yet. If we're not, you know, stay tuned. We're working hard to get to more areas. You know, growing is really important to us, but obviously growing sustainably is really important to us as well. But, yeah, we're aiming to serve more cities in the time ahead. And if you're looking to just stay up to date with us, definitely follow us on social media. We try to post a lot of fun recipes and food waste facts, and it's just a good way to stay up to speed about what we're up to as a company as well.
What is the subscription? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? How does that work for people who are in those cities that want to sign up?
Totally. That's a great question. Yeah, so it's a weekly or biweekly subscription box model, right? So you sign up for an imperfect box, and you get, you know, it delivered, you know, one day a week, and you get to pick what goes in it every week. And this is one of the most fun parts about it, is every week you get to customize. So you'll log in, and you can see, we'll build a default box for you. You know, let's say you're getting a medium organic box. We'll build a default box that represents what's in season. But then you can go in and say, ooh, I love these beets. I'm going to get an extra pound. I'm not a big fan of cabbage, so I'm going to take that out. You know, I'm having company over later, so I want to bake a pie. So I'm going to get, you know, 10 extra peaches for that. Yeah, it's really a choose-your-own-adventure. And people really like that. It allows you to get creative and really adapt it to your life and your schedule.
Is most of this produce organic, certified organic, inorganic, or is that an option which the consumer can choose as well?
Yeah, you get to pick. We offer an organic box as well as a conventional produce box. It's really whatever you want. And we offer fruits and veggies or both. So you can get a fruit box, you get a veggie box, you can get a mixed box. And as I said, it comes in a wide range of sizes as well. So whether you're a single person, you know, maybe just living with a partner or a housemate, or you have a small family or a big family, or you're cooking for a sports team, or, you know, what have you, we offer options for everybody.
So we talked about a little bit about who this benefits. It kind of benefits everybody, you, the farmer, and the consumer, because it's produce that essentially, as you spoke about, was basically going to go back in the compost pile and never be consumed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real win-win-win, which is, you know, it gets us excited. It gets farmers excited. It gets folks at home excited. The big one there, I'm glad you brought up the farmer, because people don't always think about this, but for a farmer, even not being able to sell, let's say, 5% of your crop, your acreage, that's lost revenue, right? And that really hurts farmers' bottom line. You know, if you're a hardworking farmer, like, the margins are not big to begin with. And so for them, it's really frustrating and disheartening to have so much of their stuff that they cannot market just because of cosmetic stuff. So they're delighted to be working with us and knowing that folks at home are actually enjoying this. They don't have to leave it in the field or sell it, you know, often at a loss to be processed food or end up in cattle feed or something like that. Folks at home are really excited about the cost savings. You know, it's cheaper than grocery store produce. We get that at a really good deal from the farmers, and then, you know, we'll pass up along that savings to you. It just feels good to be involved in, you know, kind of moving the needle in the right direction, I think. Like, people really enjoy that.
And that's the thing. A lot of people don't notice this because it's out of sight, out of mind. Individuals should be concerned about imperfect produce for a variety of reasons, and mainly because it's not going to waste.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of our environmental problems start because they're out of sight, out of mind. So I think things like, you know, buying ugly produce, really shopping your fridge and your pantry before you go to the store, you know, making a list every time you go to shop so you don't buy too much. Those are meaningful ways for you to take control of how much food you're wasting and really waste less of it consciously every week.
Now, obviously, this produce is cheaper than at the store. Is a lot of times if you subscribe for a subscription type box situation, there's shipping costs that you endure. Does that still balance out so that it does keep the cost low?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. The produce is on average about 30% cheaper than the store. There is a delivery fee, which is about $4.99 right now. That just accounts for, you know, building your box and getting it to your door and paying our delivery drivers a fair wage. But folks at home do report that it results in a big savings. It's not like with the delivery, it doesn't add up. You know, people are really excited about the money they're saving, and also I think the savings of time, really. You know, getting to the store can be a real hassle. You know, the market near my apartment is just a total mob scene on the weekend, so for me to get my produce delivered is just, it's one less thing to do in your precious free time. You know, I don't have to get in the car after work. It just, I think that's a real savings as well. But yeah, it's definitely a savings, and it's super convenient as well.
And people say, well, why this? And I'll say it's environmentally friendly. And they'll say, why? And I'll say, because the farmers already went to the expense of burning fossil fuels in order to plant. And if it's not sold, it's basically a waste. They're just throwing it back in the compost pile and done. By you buying it, by the consumer purchasing it from Imperfect Produce, it actually is not a waste to the limits of what it would have been.
That's a really good point, and something some people don't think about, that, you know, when you're wasting food, you're not just wasting the food, you're wasting all the inputs that went into the food. And it's pretty staggering. You know, as a country, it's roughly about a fifth of our cropland. It's an area about the size of Pennsylvania is planted, growing food that never gets eaten, right? So we're wasting a bunch of land. We're wasting all the labor that went into growing it. And then, yeah, all the fossil fuels, not to mention all the water. You know, most of our fresh water in the world and in this country certainly goes to irrigating crops. However, when we don't eat something like an avocado, that's literally gallons of water that you're essentially saying was dumped into the ground for no reason. So it's a real no-brainer way to say, let's take a common sense approach to food waste. And yeah, it's not a silver bullet. Like, there's a lot more that we as a society can do. However, this is a really easy, logical starting place that we found actually empowers people to do more, which is really inspiring.
Well, that's fantastic. And just what's the website again?
And how do people sign up for those in the cities that you're delivering to?
Yep, imperfectproduce.com. Just head to www.imperfectproduce.com. There's a big sign-up link right there. You can click on that and then enter your zip code. We'll tell you if we're in your neighborhood or not. And yeah, it's super easy to sign up, and you pick whatever size and type of box works well for you. You know, choose your own adventure and get customizing. And if you get a box, you know, after the show, please let us know what you think on social media. We always love hearing customer feedback.
Well, Riley, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to enlighten us and inform us not only about Imperfect Produce, but the amount of waste that American farmers are having to throw away because stores do not want to buy those perfect or imperfect produce.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And when we come back, your garden questions and our garden answers right after this.
If you have a gardening question, now is the time to call in on the ivorganics.com 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline at 414-444-5250.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit Bobex.com. BOBEX.com.
Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from Plant Success Organics.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponic root cutting, seed sprouting, coco core, and soil. Plant Success Organics.com carries powder, granule, and tablet form of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil to give your plant the optimal opportunity to produce incredible harvests. For more information and to purchase, visit PlantSuccessOrganics.com.
The gardener's hollow leg, the debris and harvesting bag you wear, comes with its own belt attachment, perfect for doing light pruning, weeding, harvesting on the ground or on a ladder, and many other uses. Find out more at TheGardenersHollowLeg.com.
Save 10% by using the word veggies at checkout.
Zazz Products, offering great quality supplements that can help personal health and increase longevity. Committed to bringing you the highest quality products at the lowest price. Find out more at ZazzProducts.com.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. Now with over 450 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and garden needs, tools and special blend fertilizers. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated.
Bluemel's Garden and Landscape Center offers an awesome selection of high-quality garden and landscape products. We have just the plants you're looking for. Annuals, perennials, veggies, herbs, and more. Plus, you can always count on us to answer all of your questions and offer expert advice. Bluemel's also carries the largest selection of bulk landscape materials in the area. Enjoy a beverage from our coffee shop while your kids run around in our huge playground. Join our growing list of highly satisfied customers. Visit the garden center that offers everything you're looking for. Visit Bluemel's today.
Bluemel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Haas Tools, Tree Diaper, Root Maker, Seeding Square, Rebel Green, Dripping Springs Oya, Zaz Products, Shield and Seal, Pomona Universal Pectin. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrub. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. You can visit ivyorganics.com for more information. And as always, you can call into 414-444-5250. We had a couple of questions come in. It looks like we have a couple of canning questions.
Yes, a couple of canning questions. I canned plain pears in syrup a couple of years ago, and now no one eats them. Could I make them in
They want to make pie filling.
Make pie filling, okay. Is that possible? If you've canned the pears in a syrup, can you uncan them or pour them out and then recan them as a pie?
I'm going to say that's a no, probably because they've sat there and their qualities have changed. However, you could just take them and make your own pie with them.
Without recanning it.
Without recanning them.
So even if it was just canned last year or last month, it's once you've canned a produce.
It changes the molecular aspects of it. So I wouldn't safely do it, no.
Okay. Next canning question. I made some fruit jelly, juice jelly with...
It came in the fruit juice jelly
video.
So they made the fruit juice jelly, and it didn't set. It became a thick, syrupy-like consistency.
And we've had this problem when we've made jelly, and it hasn't sat up right. What is some of the telltale signs of what the canner may be doing incorrectly that's preventing them from setting up to get that jelly-like consistency?
So as I always say, canning is a science. When you're doing science, there's an order of operations that you are following. Same thing like baking a cake. So a lot of times it could possibly be the order of operations. You didn't check your set before you started jarring it. You may not have added enough pectin. Recipe might say add X amount of pectin, but sometimes you have to add a little bit more, possibly more lemon juice. It just depends. So you have to cook it down a little bit more sometimes too. So there's a few things that could go wrong with that. If you double the batch, that could be harmful too. So in that case, I guess if I made the raspberry fruit juice jelly and it didn't set up, I would just use it as syrup.
Okay, and you can't reprocess it and add more pectin?
No.
Okay, once it's done, it's done. It's not a go back and add it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Connie says, wow, just ran across your video of canned zucchini pineapple, mock pineapple. Thank you. I'm going to try this for sure. Explain what that is, because people are like, I've got 1,000 pounds of zucchini coming out of the garden. I don't know what to do with it.
So this is awesome. You take your zucchini and you peel it and you chop it and take the seeds out, and then you basically cook it in pineapple juice and sugar for a bit, and then it absorbs that pineapple flavor, and then you can it with the pineapple juice, and then it becomes basically pineapple but zucchini, and it's really tasty, and nobody would know the difference except for it's not. Pineapple kind of has that little bit of stringy quality. It doesn't have that, but it still tastes just as good.
And you can make zucchini bread, which tastes like banana bread. We were told by a lady who ran a farm stand several years ago, make an apple pie. Leave the apples out. Put zucchini in the substitute for the apples. Nobody knows the difference.
Right. I think that's a kind of a brilliant idea, too. And there's even now people are branching up to things like zucchini brownies, zucchini cakes, and zucchini lemon loaf.
Infused lemon. As well as you could probably dehydrate these as well and probably do something with them.
And then, if you want.
If you want. And we will, and
but I have friends who grow a lot of zucchini and they'll shred it and then they'll just freeze it as is and then they'll pull out what they need to make zucchini baked goods throughout the winter and whatnot.
Carol writes in and says, I love your show, learning so much. We appreciate that, Carol. We hope that all of our programs bring some level of informational, educational to you, the listener. Doreen writes in, we talked about growing, starting a garden here for fall earlier in the program, and you can do that with cold frames. You want to get your cold frame built and then get your plants established and then use the cold frame as essentially a mini greenhouse to preserve and keep the plants alive. They are not going to grow, but they will stay alive and you can harvest off and they'll grow a little bit, but not like they do in the summer. So Doreen asked, I noticed in some of your videos you did not have any slant in your cold frame construction. I've been told you need to have a slant of the frame towards the sun to catch it in order for it to work correctly. Well, that is important if you're able to create a cold frame with a slant that is capturing that sun, that south-facing sun. You twist it and during your cold winters, wherever you're at in the country or world, to allow the sun to radiate into the cold frame. You don't open the cold frame up only during the warmest portions of the day so that radiation of heat can regenerate inside of it. But if you're making a cold frame out of lumber and you're not able to put a slant on it, or for our instance, we made it out of straw bales and put covers over the top of it where slant was not possible, it will still work. But you want to get your plants established now in the middle of summer, so they are full maturity by the time cold comes, and then you can keep them alive. There is a lot of great videos online that indicates how you properly can do such on a very small scale, very cheap scale, or very large scale and more investment towards that particular line of overwintering or growing in cold frames. Another canning question here. How many jars of pumpkin is needed to make one pie? I've often imagined that you would have to drain an immense amount of liquid out of the pumpkin before you can use it, and I'm looking to possibly can pumpkin this fall, but want to know if it's worth the effort. Number one, canning pumpkin, you have to pressure can it, you have to peel it, you have to cube it. You cannot mash it and put it in the jar. It's not safe. The internal temperatures in a pressure canner inside the jar does not get high enough to kill the pathogens off that are required for safe canning. One jar is enough for one 9-inch pan pie, typical pie. You just you pull it. That's what you need. You make your other ingredients. You drain the liquid off. You put the cubed canned pumpkin in the mixture. You puree it up. Put it in the pan. Put it in the oven. You're good to go. One jar is all you need of canned pumpkin for a pumpkin pie. We are out of time, and we always appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us on our program. Programming note, join us next week when we're going to be discussing the invasive species that are in Wisconsin. We're going to go over a couple of them and some of them that are right here in the Milwaukee area, as well as mycorrhizae. It's a very important element to your soil web, and we're going to talk about what it is and how you get it and if you already have it, as well as the leading expert in medical marijuana. Dr. Patel will be with us. She is about CBC oil, the health properties of marijuana, and all of that that goes with it. So we're very excited to have her on the program next week. Miss any portion of this program or want to revisit it in its entirety, you can always do that at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com by clicking on the radio tab at the top of the page. Want an individual segment or specific interview? You can find that under the highlight tab on the right-hand side of that main page. Both of those include full in-studio video and segments in video form. Until next week, for Holly Baird, I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Tell a friend and join Joey and Holly again next week so we can all grow together. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is a production of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com in association with WI Garden Media, broadcast live from the WNOV 860 AM and the W293CX 106.5 FM, Courier Communications Studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.